Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 178. This is the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer news, products and opinions. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading, and first-time listeners, welcome aboard. My name is Stephen Fenwick, and you know me as the editor of techguide.com.au. Well, it's the Star Wars edition of the show this week. The Force Awakens opens in cinemas in a couple of days, and we'll be chatting about meeting Harrison Ford at the fan event. We'll also hear from the creators of the BB-8 toy, and we'll also be chatting about giving Star Wars newbies some advice on the right order in which to watch the older movies in preparation for Episode 7. But in the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to be chatting about some great tech gift hints, as well as checking out the camera that can shoot 360-degree videos. We're also going to talk about the new Apple Smart battery case. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products, and also by Norton, the company to help keep you and your family safe online. Lots to get through, so let's jump straight in. Well, it's going to be an incredible week. The opening of The Force Awakens, the latest Star Wars film, Episode 7, for those who aren't up with Star Wars culture. And anyone who knows me knows that I am a huge fan, some say tragic fan, and I've been looking forward to this for some time. So I thought I'd just chat about all the things that are going on around Star Wars this week, including the fan event that saw Harrison Ford in Sydney. I was actually at the fan event myself down at the Sydney Opera House, and there were so many people there dressed up in costumes, and there were kids and adults and all there to celebrate Star Wars. And there were several merchandising areas. We're going to talk about BB-8 in a moment, and that was one of the hit bits of merchandise you could buy at that event. And there were also opportunities to take your photo with BB-8 and Rey, the mannequins dressed up in those costumes. There was also a full-size version of Kylo Ren, who's the villain of Episode 7. Captain Phasma, again, she's one of the bad people in this story. But the star of that show, of course, was none other than Harrison Ford. He was in town to promote the film. Harrison Ford, of course, playing the lovable scoundrel Han Solo in the film. He's back after 30 years, one of the original characters of the Star Wars film, along with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, who plays Princess Leia. They return to the film, which is set 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. So true fans have been waiting eagerly for this film. But the thing about this film is, too, it's also going to create a lot of interest around the film for people who haven't seen Star Wars before. People are wondering, what's all the fuss about? I haven't seen Star Wars before. I want to jump in and check it out. We'll talk a little bit later about how they can do that. What's the best order to watch the films? And it's not necessarily in the episode order, but more about that in a moment. But Harrison Ford arrived at the fan event down at the Opera House, to a hero's welcome. There were fans everywhere wanting to take selfies with him, shake his hand, get pictures autographed. And I happened to be there myself. I was right against the barrier taking photos as he walked along. I put my hand out to get my, to shake his hand, but he shook hands with the guy ahead of me and the guy after me. So I missed out on the handshake, but I still got to see him up close and also to take his photo, of course, right up close as well. So once he was done with the red carpet, that took about 20 to 25 minutes. He then went up on stage and answered some questions with Jay Lagaya, who's actually starred in episode 2. He's an Australian actor. You got to remember episode 2 and episode 3, the prequels of the Star Wars films, they were actually filmed right here in Sydney. So there were a lot of Australian talent, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, that starred in those films. But Harrison Ford had a lot of interesting things to say about not only the fact that, you know, he was really happy to be back in the Star Wars universe once again, great to link up with his former co-stars once again, but he also paid tribute to the new stars of the films, the new young actors who represent, obviously, the next generation of Star Wars. You've got to remember, Episode 7 is the start of a new trilogy. We've had Episode 1, 2, 3, we had the original 4, 5, 6. This is an all-new trilogy, the first, which has been produced by Disney, who purchased Lucasfilm about 2 or 3 years ago for $4.1 billion. Now, they're tipping The Force Awakens to be the film that actually knocks off Avatar as the world's most, as the most popular, the biggest film of all time. And the merchandising alone, they're predicting, is going to add up to about $7 billion. So just that alone is likely to recoup Disney's investment in the franchise. So the film itself, though, of course, we're thinking is going to be hugely successful. And that, as I said, is likely to hit probably about $3 billion. I think Avatar's at about $2.8 billion worldwide at the box office. Star Wars: The Force Awakens will probably, in my prediction, is it'll hit $3 billion and knock off Avatar when its run is completed. And this is the first of a few Star Wars films they're going to be taking that are going to be filmed. And there's not only Episode 7, which is The Force Awakens, but also Episode 8, which will be released in 2 years. Episode 9, 2 years after that. In the years in between, we're going to see Star Wars Rogue One, which is the story behind the theft of the Death Star plans. You remember at the very start of the first Star Wars film in 1977, when Princess Leia had the stolen Death Star plans and she was being pursued by Darth Vader and the Empire. Well, Rogue One is going to tell the story of how these people, these rebels, actually stole those plans. So it's kind of a prequel to Episode 4. It sort of sneaks in just before that. And then the next film, couple of ideas. I think one has been confirmed as a Han Solo film, so it tells the story of Han Solo. And there's talk of another one about an Obi-Wan Kenobi film. So there's no shortage of ideas for the franchise. Incredible how this is just Star Wars has suddenly come back to life again. And people like myself just being taken back to our childhood, the wonder and excitement that we had around the original film. I was 9 years old when I saw the original film. I feel very nostalgic. I have the same kind of feeling of excitement and looking forward to seeing the new films as well. It was an interesting day. Harrison Ford, just one last thing before we finish this segment. Harrison Ford had a lot of interesting things to say. And one other thing, which is kind of non-Star Wars related, is that he's confirmed to do another film, to do a sequel to Blade Runner. Apart from his iconic role as Han Solo, also as Indiana Jones, again, that could be another film he makes as well. But Blade Runner is another signature film of Harrison Ford's as well. And he confirmed that, yes, he will begin filming the new Blade Runner film next year sometime. That is the fan day and the excitement building for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. There are plenty of Star Wars story on our Tech Guide site, and you can check it out, techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Okay, now still on the subject of Star Wars, and in particular the new droid, which is BB-8. Now, for those who haven't seen BB-8, you may be living in a cave if you haven't seen this new droid. He's everywhere, or she's everywhere. I think it's a he. BB-8 is this spherical droid. So it's a ball and a dome on top of the ball, and somehow the ball can roll along and the dome stays on top. It's a wonder. And this was obviously created by the prop builders for Episode 7 and operated by puppeteers and special effects artists to look realistic in the film. Now, a company that's in existence already is Sphero, and they are creators of a ball-shaped robot. Now, the story is, and I'll let the guys themselves tell the story. I spoke to the Sphero CEO, Paul Berberian, and also the Sphero co-founder, Ian Bernstein. You're going to hear from them in a moment. They're going to tell you the story of how Disney asked them if they can create, using their own Sphero technology, create the toy version of BB-8, this spherical droid, which looks like a Sphero ball robot anyway. The dome on top, Sphero knew they could do that. They had the technology, and with a chance meeting with Disney, and they were assigned to make the BB-8 toy version. So their technology wasn't used in the film, but their expertise was called upon to make the toy version, which has absolutely gone blockbuster. It was released in early September and was pounced on by all the fans, including myself. But I think once the film actually comes out, I think it's going to see a whole new wave of popularity as people want to get hold of their own version of BB-8. Here's what Paul and Ian had to say to me earlier. Paul and Ian, thanks for joining me. Well, we're here at the Park Hyatt, a week away from the opening of the highly anticipated Star Wars film, and you guys are actually responsible for one of the stars of the show, BB-8. Tell us what you're doing here. First of all, I just had a chance to meet the little fella. What are you guys doing here?
So we are responsible for the toy version of the BB-8. And the real character, of course, is Movie Magic and was built by the Prop Masters and a fantastic creation. But what we're here is to promote our toy and to be here for the big Star Wars fan event that's happening tomorrow. And we brought with us a life-size, like, giant replica of our toy so that people can see BB-8 in that experience.
So since BB-8, I think it was the first time we saw it was at a fan event in Anaheim.
Uh-huh.
So was that the BB-8 we've got here today? So was that
No, that was developed by the Creature Shop.
Yep.
Neil Scallion and his team built that, and that's kind of like the real the real droid. And you know, we've tried to build a really fun experience that all the fans could buy and bring home, and we brought with us a nice like kind of replica of it so kids can take pictures of it and have a bunch of fun with it. But
sure. And Ian, you're the Sphero inventor.
Yep.
So you're the brains behind this, can we say. How much involvement did you guys have in the actual was there any involvement before the filming took place, afterwards? Tell us how you've been working with Disney on the Star Wars.
So we got involved with BB-8 sort of after most of the filming had been done. Mm-hmm. Basically, I started the company with my co-founder and got involved with Paul very early in 2010. We released a product called Sphero. We went through a sort of seed accelerator program to get this company started. In 2010, the first version of Sphero came out in 2011, but we ended up going through Techstars again, an accelerator program again, last summer, in the summer of 2014, at Disney. And while we were at Disney, that's when we learned about the BB-8 character.
So they envisaged this character, and for it to do what it did on the screen, you guys kind of already had a solution for that. So how do they do it for the film, and then how did you guys then get involved afterwards?
Sure. So for the film, I mean, there's some different articles out there on StarWars.com. They had, I think, six or seven different versions of the droid that could do different things, like the head would move or the ball would move or there was a puppeteer.
Right.
And they actually developed a fully working one, the prop shop, after the movie had been done filming. Finally, they could sort of had some time to go back and create that.
So were you sitting back thinking, I can do that. We can do that. We are already doing that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it was kind of random. About 5 months before we learned about BB-8. So this was we learned about BB-8. I would say last July. Mm-hmm.
So filming was already wrapped. It was already done, wasn't it?
Right. Okay. But about 5 months before that, we got a video from our factory in China. Of Sphero with a hat. And we're like, huh, that's pretty cool. We tried it in our office, and we were thinking of maybe different accessories that you could put on top of Sphero.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so we'd already worked on this technology, and of course we already had Sphero, and as soon as we saw, you know, Bob Iger showed us a picture of BB-8 while we're in this program, we're just like, oh, not a hat, a head, got it.
Like, wow. Well, that was fortuitous, wasn't it? Then you kind of were on the same page almost, weren't you? So so now, okay, filming's finished. So now with obviously BB-8's a red-hot toy now, and people, you can't make them fast enough, I imagine. And what's that been like?
It's been absolutely exciting, right? I mean, this is what you dream about as an entrepreneur, as someone running your company. You want to be in a position where the whole world wants your product faster than you can make it, right? That's the ultimate experience. So the company's grown quite a bit. We've more than doubled in size since when we started working on the BB-8 app, droid. And we've started expanding some of our product development capabilities so we can make all of the awesome ideas that Ian and Adam and the entire team has come up with. You know, we now have the resources to go out and actually build all these fantastic new playthings that hopefully come out in the next few years.
Yeah. So how does it work? So Bob Iger, after filming, you guys met up. So then you agreed to make, well, you know, we can make this as a part of the merchandising drive. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the first one, I was actually found this picture a couple weeks ago. Right after our meeting with Bob Iger, we ran back to our desk and we sketched out what we thought it looked like, because we only seen the picture for like 4 seconds. And kind of when the rest of the companies had left the accelerator program that night, we made one, the very first one, and we ended up sending them some videos that were quite hacked together, you know, iPhone footage, and it wasn't painted or anything because we didn't remember exactly what it looked like. But yeah, I mean, it took about 10 months from when we saw that first one to shipping, you know, actually getting into production for the product, and we wanted to make sure it was really authentic to the one that, you know, was envisioned for the movie.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you guys, and it was also a little thrill to meet BB-8 himself or herself. Is it a he or a she? What have we decided?
I personally think he is a he, but okay. that's my opinion. I think the jury's still out, or the fans are going to have to vote on it.
Yeah, well, I suppose the selling point here is that if you buy your own BB-8, it's up to you whether you want it to be a boy or a girl. Is that right?
That's a good point. You can name your BB-8 or call him or her whatever you wish.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate your time, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Okay, now this is our last Star Wars story. We're going to get back onto the tech in a moment. But a lot of people who know that I'm a Star Wars fan, that I know a lot about Star Wars, have come to me asking, look, I haven't really seen Star Wars before. That I can't believe anyway, but better late than never. People have approached me and asked, look, I want to watch the movies. I want to sit down with my kids. My kids are keen to see it because I want to take them to see Episode 7. What do we do? How do we watch them? What order do we watch them? Do we go Episode 1 through to 6? How do we do it? What's the best way to do it? Well, I've written a little story on Tech Guide about this. My thoughts on how to view Star Wars before diving into Episode 7. Now, my advice is this. What order do you watch the movies? My advice is, if you are going to watch them before Episode 7, is watch the movies in the order they were made. In other words, watch the original trilogy first. So, Episode 4, which is A New Hope. Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Now, you could very well just watch those three films and then be able to understand and appreciate the episode 7, which takes place 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. And if you wanted to, there is no real need to even watch the prequels right now. If you want to go back and watch the prequels, they tell the backstories of how Darth Vader became Darth Vader, the story of how the Empire was formed, how the Rebellion was formed, how the Emperor took up his position of power. All these backstory elements do tick a lot of the boxes and fill in a few of the blanks, but it's not really vital, not really necessary to appreciate Episode 7. Now, the prequels were very much maligned by even true fans. While they had great special effects and made a brilliant production value, there were some characters that were irritating. I'm talking to you, Jar Jar Binks. There was some pretty average dialogue and some pretty wooden performances in there as well. Take all those out, you still got some three exciting movies and really interesting history of the Star Wars universe and how it became, how it got to the events of Episode 4 and onwards. So take the good with the bad there. You know, as Star Wars fans, I quite enjoy the prequels. They get better every time I watch them. I do forgive some of those clangers in there that really kind of make me roll my eyes and think, wow, that's pretty average. But all in all, still good value to watch. But in terms of getting ready for Episode 7, stick with the original trilogy, Episode 4, Episode 5, Episode 6, before you dive into Episode 7 in the theatres. And it kicks off at midnight on Wednesday night into Thursday. So 12:01 a.m. Thursday, midnight Wednesday to Thursday. They're the first screenings. I'm actually lucky enough to go to a screening on Wednesday night at 7, so 5 hours before it's shown to the public. That's a media screening, and I cannot wait. I'll be watching it again the next day, twice the next day on the opening day, and I'll give you my thoughts next week. But if you want to read more about Star Wars, that little guide for Star Wars newbies, you can find it at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Norton, the company that can protect your devices and keep you and your family safe online. Today we live in a world where cyber criminals are working overtime trying to find new ways to steal your personal information. The dedicated team at Norton is keeping people safe online no matter how they connect. So whether you're paying bills on your phone, shopping on your tablet, or banking on your laptop, Norton's latest internet security solution, Norton Security Premium, is working behind the scenes to keep your information, your identity, and your devices protected. It also comes with secure PC cloud backup, so you can back up and save your personal files, photos, videos, and all your other memories that live on your devices. For more information about Norton Security Premium and how to protect your online life, check out au.norton.com.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennig.
Okay, kicking off the reviews, rather than reviewing one thing, I just want to sort of go over a few things. If you haven't already noticed on Tech Guide, I've started our 12 days of Christmas gift ideas. So each day we're talking about a new category and giving you some ideas on products to suit different people, to help make it easy for you to find the right gift for that special person. Now, we've got 6 days worth of categories, and those categories are smartphones on day one, cameras we did on day two. Day three was wearables and activity trackers, very popular products those. Day four was tablets. Day five was wireless speakers. And day six, which we're up to right now, are gadgets. And they're those products that don't quite fit in one category, but some fit in two categories, but they're not really defined by one. And by that, I mean the products I've talked about are, for example, the DJI Phantom 3 drone, the BB-8 toy from Sphero, which we spoke about earlier, the Dyson, the V6 Absolute vacuum cleaner, the cordless vacuum cleaner, the Zoomer hoverboard. Hoverboards have been in the news a lot lately, and when I wrote that review about Zoomer, the company 3Volve, our mates up there in Brisbane, they did tell me that, yes, there are cheaper alternatives out there, but they take the trouble to adapt these devices for the Australian customer. And by that I mean Australian chargers, after sale service, improved electronics on board, better balance, better performance. And yes, they cost slightly more, but you know what? You got peace of mind. Now, there's plenty of stories out there. You've probably heard about the El Cheapo hoverboards bought off eBay straight out of the Chinese factories that are catching fire, failing after a couple of months, and really not giving you the value and the performance that you're after. So it is worth spending a little bit more. Zoomar is one product that we have reviewed ourselves and have compared it to an off-the-shelf El Cheapo model, and the Zoomar was by far the better device. Is worth the extra money, whether it's a Zoomar or the Skywalker or the Revo Glider. They seem to be the three reputable brands, so stick with those. Don't be tempted to buy something really cheap off eBay. You might save a couple of $100, but at the end of the day, you may end up with a lemon, so be careful about that. The other things we've covered, e-readers, Kindle Voyage. That's the latest Kindle. That is out there too. Anyone that you know who loves reading, well worth a look at that. On the smartphone side, we did speak about a couple of devices there. One in particular, the Alcatel OneTouch Idol 3. $379. I think as good a phone as those top tier devices for a third of the price. It has an adaptable screen, so no matter how you pull it out of your pocket, the screen will adapt with you. There's no such thing as upside down with that phone. In the camera reviews, we've of course included the GoPros, the GoPro Hero 4 Sessions. Of course, there's the Hero 4 Black that's out there too. We've spoken about a Canon PowerShot SX710HS, the Sony action camera, and as well as links to a few of our Lumix reviews, and other photography accessories like the LowPro bags, the Epson EcoTank printer, and the Olo clip lens for iPhone. So it turns your iPhone into an even better camera with a lens you can clip over the top. Next up, we spoke about tablets. Now, this is another popular category, and all kinds of tablets are available now, right from Surface Pro 4, which has just been released and have reviewed and included in our gift ideas guide. But there's also the iPad Pro, the 12.9-inch iPad, the big iPad. We've also looked at the Samsung Galaxy Tab S2. The Super AMOLED screen is a real standout. And also the Sony Xperia Z4 tablet. So that you can check those out in our tablet story. Day 5, we spoke about speakers. Now, speakers are a very popular category this Christmas. They have been all year. The wireless speakers and multi-room speakers, plenty of them out there. In our wrap-up of our speakers, we looked at the UE Boom 2 cool waterproof Bluetooth speaker, the Sonos Play 5, of course, the multi-room speaker that has just gone is even better somehow, the Sonos Play 5. We checked out the BenQ Trivolo Bluetooth speaker. Bose, of course, their SoundTouch 10, the latest in their SoundTouch family of products. Braven, the BRVX Bluetooth speakers are also the ones we looked at. And in the gadgets, which we've already mentioned, day 6, we've already gone through those. Now, coming up on Tech Guide, you're going to be hearing about gaming gifts, games and accessories. We're going to talk smartwatches on day 8, TVs and Blu-ray discs as well on day 9, so some new TVs and also some Blu-rays that you can enjoy on them. Day 10, we're looking at computers and computer accessories. Day 11, a sports gadget, so GPSs, all those kinds of health devices, so sports watches as well. Day 12, our last day, we're going to wrap it up with headphones and earphones. But if you want to check out all of those 12 days of gift ideas, you can find them all at techguide.com.au. Now, one of the devices that we've been testing is an amazing product. It's called the 360 Fly. Now, this is an action camera, but an action camera like no other that we've seen. As with traditional action cameras, you can point them in one direction, either out to what you can see or back to yourself so you can be filmed doing what you want to film. But you need to choose one angle. Well, the difference with the 360 Fly is you don't have to choose an angle because guess what? you get all of the angles. It shoots 360-degree videos. So you could position the camera and it will capture everything that's going on around it. So you can film what's in front of you, beside you, behind you, next to you, all at the same time using one camera. There have been attempts to do this with putting 8 or 10 or 12 GoPros and stitching it all together. Not so with the 360 Fly. It's one product that can shoot everything. It's got this special dome lens that has a 360-degree field of vision. So you know some cameras have got a 1670-degree or 180-degree field of vision? Well, imagine a camera that's got a 360-degree field of vision. That is the 360 Fly. To test it out, we popped it on the front of our kayak. That is me paddling on from Rose Bay all the way to Watson's Bay on a beautiful sunny day in Sydney. And you'll see from the video that I've shared is that when you're watching the video, the resulting video of the 360 Fly, and look, it isn't quite full HD. It's below HD quality. So for those who want to shoot 4K quality, full HD quality, you're not going to get that with a 360 Fly. So you probably need a GoPro or any of these other action cameras to achieve that kind of quality. What you're going to get with the 360 Fly is this brilliant 360-degree view. The resolution is 1508 by 1504 by 1504. So that's the full 360 degrees. That's how many pixels take it all the way around. So you're not going to get that high quality, but the quality is still good. It's still good enough to appreciate on your devices and on your computers, on YouTube, wherever you want to share it. What you can do, though, the beauty of watching back your 360 Fly video is you can actually switch the camera around. While you're pressing play, you can just swing the camera around and think, okay, what's happening in front of me? What's happening beside? What's happening over there? You can do that yourself. You can also record clips and show people. So you can have a recording of your clip where you are actually moving the view so that other people can appreciate the 360-degree effect when you're watching it on YouTube or sharing it on Facebook or wherever you want to do. So you can actually be the guide and set up those different camera movements and record all of that and share that video. So the device itself is it's a ball-shaped camera, bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a tennis ball. So it's sort of in between those sizes. It does come with its own set of mounts, and those mounts, though, are compatible with a tripod. They're also compatible with a GoPro, with GoPro mounts. And you'll see from my picture on Tech Guide, I've actually used a GoPro mount on the front of my kayak. You'll notice right there is a picture of it sitting on the front of the kayak. Now, the video that you see is me paddling, and I then turn the camera around just to show all the 360-degree view that you see. The woman who's on a paddleboard next to me is actually my wife. We went paddling together, and I used this occasion to film this video with the 360 Fly. Now, as I said, this isn't 4K quality, not HD quality, nowhere near that. It is still good enough, though, to appreciate. The video quality is still quite impressive, and I think the fact that you are viewing 360-degree video, you'll soon forget the quality. You'll appreciate that 360-degree view. So while it gives with one hand, the whole 360-degree video, it kind of takes away with the other hand. The quality is not quite up to the GoPro standard. There is a 32-gig internal memory, and from that you're going to get 2 hours of recording, and the battery can last that whole time as well, which is very impressive. Batteries on action cameras really don't last that long. You can film. I filmed for 90 minutes straight. What it does is it divides it in 10-minute clips so you can download snippets from the device when you pair the app on your smartphone to the camera. That ran for 90 minutes. There's no expandable micro SD card slot. The onboard 32-gig memory is there for you to record your videos. Now, one other thing you need to before I talk about price, you can actually view the videos with Google Cardboard. If anyone knows what I mean, that little VR device, if you actually got a VR device, like a Samsung VR, you can pop the your smartphone in, hit the Google Cardboard mode, and you can actually, rather than you moving the camera around with your finger or just moving the phone using the accelerometer, you can use your VR headset to actually look around 360 degrees to see it, and that's another way you can view and appreciate that video. Now, the price, it ain't cheap. It's $649.95, but you have to remember to achieve what this can achieve, you probably, if you wanted to use normal cameras, you probably have to buy five or six of them to achieve what it does. So that's going to cost a way more than $649. That's the recommended retail price. It may be cheaper in the stores, but you got to remember what it can give you, 360-degree video, and it can be used anywhere. You can use it on your holidays. You can use it when you're doing all your action thing. Maybe jumping out of a plane, you might want to have this on your helmet or have it on the front of your surfboard or kayak or wherever. You could use this on holidays. You could also use it in a board meeting. Imagine sitting the camera in a board meeting. Everyone's around the table. Everyone gets filmed at the same time. You can hear what everyone's saying, and it's a great way to record. Rather than having to record the minutes of a meeting, you can actually record the whole meeting, and everyone can be seen, everyone can be heard as well. The 360 Fly, a unique camera that can shoot 360-degree videos. If you want to read my complete review and watch me paddling on Sydney Harbour, you can check out my review at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, Apple last week released a battery case, a smart battery case for the iPhone. Now, this is an interesting move from Apple. It kind of is a way that Apple's admitting that, yeah, the battery, some people aren't getting enough power, aren't getting enough use out of that single charge. Here's a case that's got a little battery tucked away that can extend the battery life of your iPhone 6. It's not available for any other device. It's just available for the 6 and the 6S. So that's the 4.7-inch iPhone. There is not a version for the iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, or the iPhone 6 Plus. So reasoning behind that, I assume, is that these are bigger devices with bigger batteries and they last longer. I know mine does. I've got the 6S Plus. My battery lasts a day and a half easily. The 6 is a little bit smaller, hence the reason the battery is not that big, and hence the reason why Apple decided that it may benefit from having this smart case. Now, the case itself looks like Apple's silicon case. The difference being there is a hump in the back of the case, this subtle little lump in the back there. That is the new battery. The battery is around 1,900 milliamp hours in capacity. And what that does, that will provide not quite a complete recharge. You'll probably get three quarters of the battery back again, but it will get you out of trouble if you're low on battery and you won't have a chance to sit by a charger or be in your car or be anywhere near a power point. This can charge you up on the run. It's available in two colors, in charcoal gray and in white. And interestingly, too, there is a lightning connector on the bottom of the case, so you can charge not only the phone, but also the battery within the case at the same time. Now, that is another, and that's a major difference from the other smartphone battery cases, and there's a few of them that have been out for a couple of years. These other cases, which use a micro USB cable, usually have to charge the phone first and then the case. So it takes, if you've got a dead phone in the dead case, you're going to have to charge one, then the other. But in the case of the smartphone case from Apple, it actually charges both at the same time. So you're going to save some time there. It's going to be able to power both up, charge both the battery and the iPhone inside it at the same time. The Apple Smart Battery Case, priced at $165. It's available now. And if you want to check out our review, you can find it at techguide.com.au. The Tech Guide podcast is also proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And Netgear has come up with the new Nighthawk X4S AC2600 Wi-Fi ADSL VDSL modem router. It's perfect for connected Aussie homes. Netgear's latest addition to the Nighthawk family is a cracker. It's a high-performance piece of kit specifically built for streaming, for gaming, and connected homes with lots of devices. The Nighthawk X4S or D7800 will deliver AC Wi-Fi speeds of up to 2600 megabits per second and supports both ADSL and VDSL connection. VDSL connections being used in the NBN rollout, so you are future-proof with this device. It's the first modem router on the market to support the latest Wave 2 Wi-Fi technology with quad stream on both bands and multi-user MIMO capability. That's multiple in, multiple out capability. This means maximizing connection speeds for faster streaming, faster gaming, and less buffering. So if your household loves streaming Netflix, loves online gaming, and has multiple devices, check out the new Nighthawk X4S Wi-Fi modem router from Netgear. Search D7800 at netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our Tech Guide Help Desk, we had an interesting question from our reader, an email from Dan. And if you want to send in a question, you may also be on the Tech Guide Help Desk. Our address is info@techguide.com.au. That's what Dan did. He sent us in an email. He was asking about soundbars. Now, these are a very popular item if you've already got a flat screen TV and you're not quite happy with the sound. Problem with really thin TVs means is that the speakers are also thinner and smaller and are not necessarily offering the best quality. Here's where the soundbar comes into it. So if you add a soundbar to your flat screen TV, you're suddenly going to get an enhanced audio performance. Now, let's face it, the screen might look terrific, but if you're getting rubbish sound, it's not going to really be the best experience. Now, a soundbar can be the solution to that problem. Now, the question Dan asked me, I was speaking about these on 2GB last Wednesday, and you can tune in every Wednesday, by the way, at about 2:20 if you want to hear me on to talk about the latest tech. And also call in and ask me a question. You can do that live, or you can record a voice bite using our Voice Bite app. Record your voice bite, 15-second question with the hashtag 2GBTech, and that will be guaranteed for you to go get on the program. But these soundbars, yes, that was one of the questions that I was asked about. And the question that Dan asked me on the email was that, can I get something decent without spending a fortune? And the answer to that is yes. The good news is soundbars, if you want a 2.1 channel soundbar, so that's left and right speakers, so left and right directional speakers and a subwoofer, you can buy them for under $200. And you can also, of course, go up to $1,000 if you wanted to. You get more power, bigger subwoofer, possibly rear speakers, virtual surround sound. So as you spend more money, there are additional features that you get as well. But I'd recommend if you're looking for an entry-level speaker, I would, while the $199 speaker and subwoofer is okay, if you spend, let's say, $100 more, you'll get a much better speaker. So as much as you can afford, pour it into that soundbar. If you can afford another $100 or $200, you are going to get something really special. And even if you're adding a little more, you're getting a lot better quality. It's worth keeping in mind. But nevertheless, even those $199 soundbars are going to hear an improvement over the thin TV speakers as well. Those flimsy speakers, tinny speakers that you may not be satisfied with. A soundbar could be the solution to those problems. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that is our show for this week. You can read about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. And as I said earlier, if you want to get in touch with us, please send us an email at info@techguide.com.au. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs, and also to our friends at Norton, the company that can help keep you and your family and your devices safe online. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure having you with us once again. listening. We look forward to you joining us again next week for episode 179. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.